Straight Talk from Israel.
You're listening to Israel News Talk Radio.
Pouring rain here in Israel. Lightning like you won't believe. I hope that we can stay on the air because the power did go out in our area. But it is raining like the heavens have opened up right now. I'm looking outside the window. It is awesome. Just awesome, folks. All right. Well, in the meantime, we're going to make an attempt to rain some news down on you. We're going to be talking about everything from the everything from the rain here in Israel to the coronavirus to the elections that are coming up in just another several days from now. And get this one, new armies. Did you know that a new army is being formed in the world? And it is by several different countries under the umbrella of the EU. And they are gearing up with high-tech defense, et cetera, et cetera. Maybe offense too, by the way. And with Brexit happening, what about that? And why are they making this army? That's the big question I have. Why is the EU starting not to depend on American involvement and they want to make their independent EU army? I'm very, very not up in the facts here, but my guest on the show today will be, and he's going to be giving us all this information. Very interesting stuff. And I don't know, you know, how much you're hearing about all of these things in other places. So we're going to cover that here. I want to remind you again, March is coming up, and it's still not too late to go on the Israel 2020 Vision Tour. It is going to be so exciting. I'm going to be there. Tofi Singer is going to show up for a small time as well. How's that going to be when Tamar and Tovia get together? And we're going to be going to the borders of Israel, the northern border, the southern border, the eastern border. It's going to be so fascinating. You'll have so many stories to share when you get back to your house. All of your friends are going to want to have you over for dinner and hear about your stories in Israel. You owe it to yourself to go. Check it out on our website at israelnewstalkradio.com. Don't go anywhere, folks. We're going to be right back. We have a lot to discuss. And I'm going to watch the pouring rain. It's amazing what's going on here out my window during the break. We'll be right back.
G'day, I'm Jono Vandor.
And I'm Ross Nichols.
Join us on our program, Israel on My Mind, a show that broadcasts all the weekly goodness that flows like milk and honey from the Holy Land straight into your ears with humorous and happy news stories.
We're going to be talking about...
What are we going to talk about?
A person who takes out a terrorist with a pizza tray.
And there's Donald Trump talking to a turkey. What's that about?
A 71-year-old rock star is a staunch supporter of Israel.
Join us on our program, Israel on My Mind.
Every Thursday.
Biblical.
Be beautiful.
Wear your crown.
Repping is my crown.
Do what married Jewish women have been doing for thousands of years. Celebrate the art of head wrapping. I'm Andrea Grinberg from Rapunzel.com. We have beautiful scarves, stunning accessories, scarves for faith, scarves for healing, and scarves for fun. Rapunzel.com. That's Rapunzel with a W. Or click on our banner on the Israel News Talk Radio homepage.
Rapunzel.com. Beautiful scarves, stunning accessories paired with tutorials, support, and a vibrant community to give you everything you need to start and perfect your head covering journey.
Don't forget, join the Rapunzel community group on Facebook to see, learn, and share your beautiful wraps. That's Rapunzel with a W on Facebook.
I love Rapunzel.
I love Rapunzel. I love Rapunzel.
Get 10% off your purchase with promo code RADIO. Go now to Rapunzel.com.
All right, we're back. back here at the Tamar Yonah Show on IsraelNewsTalkRadio.com. And, wow, the rain here, you would not believe it. Hail now also. This is so exciting because whenever we have rain in Israel, it is such a blessing. Israel is so dependent upon the rain. And because we don't have all of these natural waterways today, we did during biblical times, it was a land of milk and honey, but it's been a desert for 2,000 years. And it's only now returning to being close to blooming what it was before. And seeing these rains and seeing the Kinneret, which is the Sea of Galilee, filling up, which if we open the floodgates, will go to the Jordan and then it'll go to the Dead Sea. And then the Dead Sea might not be dead anymore. Have you ever thought about that? So much to talk about that, the coronavirus. We're going to be talking about politics, the elections, and new armies, all this coming up. First, let me introduce our guest. We have joining us Dr. Mordechai Ben-Menachem. He is a researcher, former lecturer at Ben-Gurion University, and has authored over 60 books and 400 research papers on science and history and more. He commentates on Mideast and world issues. Welcome to the show, Dr. Mordechai Ben-Menachem.
Thank you very much.
It's good to have you on. Okay. So let's start with the rain, just because I'm all excited during the break. It was just the heavens opened up, and then the rain, this heavy, heavy and long rainfall turned into hail, and the hail's bouncing up as it hits the ground. It pops up. It's so exciting. And we now know also that the Kinneret, the Sea of Galilee, which is where it's our major freshwater, sweet water place where we get our water from, although we've become masters in water desalinization, and we're getting a lot of our water from the sea now that's being filtered and being made drinkable. But this is so exciting. And so tell us about the rains now in Israel.
Well, first of all, we should start with saying that so far for the season, in the rainy season, Jerusalem has received about 114% of the seasonal annual, which means that we still have part of the season to go. In terms of the entire year, we've received about 85%, if I recall correctly.
Okay.
So we're doing very, very well, Baruch Hashem.
Yes.
The Sea of Galilee is just about filled. They expect after this particular rainfall, it's likely that they will have to open the floodgates. And you were incorrect when you said that maybe the Dead Sea wouldn't be dead anymore. It would still be just as dead because it's extremely salty, but it wouldn't be disappearing as it is today. The reason why the Dead Sea level is constantly dropping is because water hasn't been going into it for many, many years now, because we haven't had sufficient water for that. Israel today receives about 70% of its drinking water from desalinization and another 10% from reclamation of used water, which is a nice way of saying sewage. The reclaimed water is used, of course, all for agriculture, not for drinking.
Right.
Or industry and things like that, but not for drinking. So we're doing very well in terms of water. Thank God the government planned ahead in exemplary fashion, which is not normal in any democracy in this world. And they did it very, very successfully. And our water levels are fine. Our water levels are great.
But
you're
before...
right that the water coming from the sky is the most important water of all, because remember, water that comes from desalination does not water the countryside, does not water the forest, does not water the natural springs and et cetera. So this water is extremely important.
Right. And this is even before the snow that melts from the Hermon mountain up north in Israel.
Correct.
So this is all very, very exciting. And
our sages said that snow is six times more important than rain. It's six times more significant in terms of the wetness than is rain, because, of course, there's no runoff with snow. Snow, when it melts, goes down into the ground immediately.
You know, also, I've seen videos that people have been sharing, you know, on the internet of the Kinneret, the Sea of Galilee, that's so high now that it is already splashing and, you know, making these amazing, like, you know, waves coming up on the toilet. On the, how do you say toilet in English?
The promenade.
Boardwalk, promenade,
the promenade.
Boardwalk,
yeah.
Right?
It's the highest
on the
it's been
shore.
Now since 1992.
It's so exciting.
That's an amazing statistic.
It is so exciting to see the lake like that. And the lake really needs some good fresh water because it's kind of like the same stale water that's been in the lake for so many years. And it's
well,
causing
no,
some
that's not true.
It
changed water all
that.
The time from the Golan and from rivers that feed it, but insufficiently.
Insufficiently, yes. Okay, so this is very, it's really going to revive so much, and it's very, very exciting. All right.
We have to remember that a third of our water, a third of our natural water comes from the Golan Heights, which is one of the reasons why the Golan and Trump's added blessing of the Golan is so very important.
Okay, let's talk now. Let's veer away from the good news and go to some sad news. And we're going to be talking about the coronavirus. We just found out that on one of these ships, some Israelis have been found to have contracted it, two or three Israelis, I think. And we're trying to take care of that and them. But we've seen so many videos coming out. Again, a lot of them we can't confirm. But it seems to be a huge discrepancy between what the official statements coming out from the Chinese Communist government and what people on the ground there apparently are saying and sharing. The number is completely different. And, it, you know, if you think about it, it's in the interest of the Chinese government not to share the real, well, I shouldn't say real, but the statistics that other people are complaining about and claiming that there are. Because if indeed it's true what these what the civilians are saying and other people who are on the ground there are saying, this could really hurt the Chinese stock market. It could hurt business contracts with China. It could really collapse a lot of their economy, which is not already collapsing right now from this shutdown that they have in the quarantines. Tell us about that.
Well, actually, everything you said I agree with, except for one relatively minor statement, and that is that while last week we had to be extremely careful about the statistics being published by the Chinese government. Apparently, these statistics are much, much higher quality than we expected.
Like?
The Chinese government has actually been much more forthright than anyone expected. Most of these scaremongers and panicking people simply have been proven to be nonsensical. And one of the clear indicators of this is the oil market. We saw that in the beginning, up until the end of our previous broadcast, the price of oil around the world was dropping precipitously. And for this past week, it has been going up. And the oil people tend to be people who have their fingers in a lot of different pies, and they get much more accurate information than the jerks that call themselves journalists around the world today. So the news is that the coronavirus is starting to be contained. We're starting to see with all the tragedy involved and all the fatalities and etc., we're starting to see the beginning of the end of the real scare concerning the coronavirus. So there's good news on that front as well.
Well, let's hope so, because I just watched a video that was just heart-wrenching of a Chinese woman who apparently she's screaming and crying in this video, saying that it's dangerous for people to speak out. People are too afraid to speak out, but she doesn't care anymore. She's doing this for her parents, for her family. Perhaps she lost people in her family from the coronavirus, and this is why she doesn't care anymore, because maybe she feels her life is over because she's lost someone close to her. I'm just assuming this. I don't know. But she's very, very emotional, screaming, crying, and saying she doesn't care.
Yeah, well, emotional screaming and crying is not statistics.
It's not statistics, and it's also not verified that this is true. However, watching this It is very convincing that what she is saying, that people are afraid to speak out, that the communist government does not have the interest of its people, which is always true in with a communist government. It's always the collective. It's not the individual in the people. And she is saying that something has to be done, and she's going to speak out even if it threatens her, and that people are getting prison sentences, and even lawyers are afraid to do anything. Even the honest lawyers are afraid to do anything.
I'm
not done. And then this is true. We don't know how true it is, but this is what she was saying. And towards the end of the video, it's saying that this person and this person and this person who also spoke out in previous videos are today missing. And apparently the authorities come if they find out you've released a video like this. They are arresting these people and taking them in. Now, there's no way to verify this. I want to make that perfectly clear. However, it is very convincing. And as I said in the last show, it reminds me of the Holocaust. What if people were trying to tell people about the Holocaust? You have 20 seconds, Mordechai.
The only comment I want to make is that it also reminds one of shouting fire in a crowded theater.
How can you say that?
How can I say that? Because that's what it is. We don't know if these things, if these shouts are of any value whatsoever. We do know that they do endanger the population as a whole. So the Chinese government is not necessarily wrong. As much as I dislike the communist government, they're not necessarily wrong in what they do.
Okay, but according to their numbers, you would think that they're so low to put 400 million people under quarantine and shutting down your ports and things. It seems to me higher numbers would need to be justified, but we'll be right back, everybody.
Hi, everyone. This is Andrea Simintow from Jerusalem, inviting you to drop everything and join me on my show, Pull Up a Chair. We'll visit this week's quirky stories, meet fabulous guests, and discover my Israel. Together, we'll laugh, shout, and explain the topics that make us say, hey, we've got to talk about that. So get comfortable and pull up a chair with me, Andrea Simintow, every Thursday on Israel News Talk Radio.
Hidden treasures in the Hebrew Bible?
Then join me, Rav Yitzhak Michelson.
And me, William Hall.
On the Science of Kabbalah, where we are seeking to narrow the gap between what we understand of our physical and spiritual worlds. So make sure to tune in every Tuesday at 5 p.m. Israel time, 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, here on Israel News Talk Radio.
We're back here at the Tamar Yonah Show on IsraelNewsTalkRadio.com. And, you know, the beginning of March, we go to elections here in Israel. It's right around the corner, and a lot of mudslinging, accusations, finger pointing, et cetera, is going on Israeli TV and Israeli TV news in the newspapers. Oh my gosh, don't even ask what we are getting on our WhatsApp from this party and that political party, sending us messages why we should vote for them. Amazing stuff. Okay. Some of it a bit vile, even. What do you have to say about it, Dr. Mordechai Ben Menachem?
Well, the first thing I would say about it is that it's much ado of nothing. Basically, nobody is saying anything new. The polls, I'm entirely skeptical about their validity. They're exactly the same as they were previously, with some very, very minor differences, but no differences in terms of the fields. The parties are slightly different. Still, you see 56-57 for the right wing, the Likud and its partners, and 44 approximately for Blue and White and its partner. It has only one partner left, by the way. I would tend to agree with that. I would tend to believe at the moment that Gantz really does not want to sit with the Arab party.
Benny Gantz is from, he's a former general, and he's from the Blue and White party bloc. And they say that they are left center, They try to go on the center. They try to say that they're center, but they're really not center. They're very left. And go ahead.
And I tend to agree that he would prefer not to sit with them. He would try not to sit with them. But there is no chance of a government of Gantz without somebody supporting him, because even with Lieberman joining him, he still doesn't have a government. So there's really no chance of Gantz forming a government if the polls are at all correct.
Okay, and if
there
he
is
won't...
a chance, not a good one,
yeah.
that Netanyahu could form a government, he still has a problem. Lieberman is still a big stumbling block.
Okay, so let me explain to our listeners that the Likud is saying, Likud is with Bibi Netanyahu, and they're saying that Gantz cannot make a government. Even if he gets more votes than any other party, he still will not be able to make a government unless he takes the Arab list, the joint list with him, the Arabs into the government. If you bring the Arab parties into the government, that means that they're going to have secrets of Israel. They're going to know when we're going to be making a defensive attack against our enemies. They can warn the enemies. This is suicidal. It is suicidal. It is treacherous. And they're saying Gantz will not be able to do it unless he goes with the Arabs. And he might indeed do it if it depends how much he wants to be the prime minister.
Actually, we should add one more statement there, because you're right in what you said. But even if he adds the Arabs in, he still doesn't have a government.
Well, with the other parties, he would if he gets Meretz and Labor Party in, and if he gets
Meretz and Labor, I'm including they're part of the 44.
Okay, and Lieberman with the Arabs.
Only if he gets both the Arabs and Lieberman does he have a government.
Okay, so he could do it.
And Lieberman has always said that he would never sit with the Arabs, and
you can trust Lieberman, right? Oh yeah. We can trust. We can trust Lieberman. That's right.
Well, you can't trust Lieberman. You cannot. But you can base yourselves on some of his history. And he is not a nice person, and he does not like Arabs.
Okay, you know what? A lot of people don't like people, but if it means power, then they'll sit with them. That's why they go to bed with each other, even though they don't like each other. That's what politics is.
Yeah, you're right.
Okay?
But I'm saying the chance on Gantz getting both Lieberman and the Arabs is not great.
Okay, there's a lot of finger. Yeah.
But still, with the Arabs, with only the Arabs and not Lieberman, he still does not have a government.
Okay, let's look at some of the other things that are going on in the news. They were spreading around some type of clip from an interview that Gantz was doing, saying, is this the type of prime minister that you want? He was trying to answer a question, and he had to look down at the palm of his hand, where he had apparently there was something written on his hand, so he would know what to say.
Gantz has about as much charisma as a dead dog.
Okay.
This is not a man who's in any way accustomed to anything other than giving orders, and even that he was not all that successful. It was okay.
Okay, not just giving orders, but taking orders.
Not exemplary.
But generals have to take orders too. The generals take orders from the government. They don't decide for themselves. Only after they get their order do they give out orders. So the question is, can he be the one to give out the orders in the first place? All right. And then there is Bennett, who is on the right, the political right, and he's saying everyone's asking. You think that the right is weak. You have to think again. For years, we've sat on the sidelines being good little boys. The government, the people in power were telling us to sit back, and you can go and settle some of your settlements over there, the land of Israel, and go do your nice little, pro-Israel things. But, stay out of the government. Stay out of the cabinet. He says, but look where we're not going to be little good sweet boys anymore. We're taking power. Ayelet Shaked, who was in the Yamina party, the right party there with Bennett, she was the Minister of Justice, and she made some changes. Bennett is now the defense minister. He's trying to make some changes, and he's saying we are a different and strong party in the right. What do you have to say about that?
Well, I dislike Bennett intensely, and that sort of statement is one of the reasons why I dislike him, because that statement is totally misleading, totally dishonest. The religious party that he comes from, which is essentially historical Mafdal, has always been in the government. There's never been a government without them. Saying that they were not part of the cabinet is simply untrue, simply not the case.
Okay.
So it's true. true that they have seldom had ministerial posts like defense, which is what he has today, even though it's clearly behind as being temporary. But saying that they have not sat in the government, not sat in the cabinet, is simply not true. Simply a lie.
Okay.
So I don't like Bennett. Bennett has always been a very uncomfortable person for me personally. I don't believe him.
Mordechai,
I'm going to
stop you here because we only have 4 minutes left, and I know you want to talk about the new army that's being put together in the EU. Tell us about that.
Okay. It's a very, very, it's a fascinating subject. People who have time, I would strongly recommend looking it up. There's some superb videos over the last couple of weeks on YouTube, and some good articles have come out. Basically, Brexit is an enormous earthquake in terms of the Brussels bureaucracy. And they're trying everything they can to figure out what's going on, what can they do. People are already talking about the next exit. And one of the countries talking about the next exit, as shocking as this will sound to many people, could be Germany.
Really?
Because the EU needs Germany to survive. Germany does not need the EU. Remember,
well,
the EU was basically formed at its beginning to muzzle Germany because they were afraid of the wars of the 20th century.
But didn't Germany weren't they the mastermind of the EU? And this is
absolutely,
you know, okay.
Yes.
So then why would
Germany
they want to leave?
Yes, you're completely correct.
Then why would they want to leave? What's in it for them if they leave?
A lot of money. They're paying a great deal of money, of their own money, for the southern tier of the EU countries who are not as successful as Germany is in terms of economics. So economically, there's a tremendous advantage for them to exit the EU if they can retain good trading relations with the ones who remain. But on the other hand, if they leave, the EU will probably collapse totally.
That's what I would think. So why the army? And then what's the plus of the army?
Well, the idea behind them, let's talk about what the army is, what we're talking about. Every European country has an army. All of these armies, except for Britain, are somewhere between a joke and a bad joke. Germany has like 90 tanks left, or something like a few airplanes. Their army is ridiculous. In the last European maneuvers, the German soldiers were maneuvering with broomsticks, literally, not with guns. They didn't have guns. They were literally maneuvering with broomsticks.
You
shouting,
have 1 minute.
Bang,
Mordechai.
Bang, bang.
Okay, 1 minute. Go.
Okay, so what the Brussels bureaucracy announces that they were going to invest heavily, notice my double quotation marks, invest heavily in military R&D. Their terms of invest heavily was $1.5 billion, which is a joke. And they came out and said, no country today, other than the three large countries, the United States, Russia and China, can invest in serious military systems today. Of course, they forgot about Israel. They always do. So the Europeans today are at least 20 years behind the technologies that exist today in the United States and in Israel, at least 20 years behind. So investing $1.5 billion is simply a Band-Aid on a bullet wound.
So in 30 seconds, what do you want to leave us with about this new army?
Well, the new army is an attempt on the Brussels bureaucrats to say, I'm still here, but they aren't. And the entire EU project is already in a state moving towards collapse. I'm not making a prediction that they are collapsing. I'm saying that they're in a very, very precarious state.
So they're just flexing their muscle, you're saying?
They're flexing muscles that they don't have.
But you know what? It's still a deadly muscle. Even if they're not so strong, still, it's unnerving.
They don't have the young people around to man the weapons. That's just not going to happen.
Dr. Mordechai Ben-Menachem, thank you for being with us. We'll be right back, everybody, with Shifra Hoffman. Don't go anywhere.
Leap of Faith with Penina Taylor.
We live in the age of information, but not inspiration. If you're like me, you're looking to be inspired, to reach higher, to connect more, and to grow. Well, if you want to get warm, you need to stand close to the fire. And if you want to catch fire, you need to stand close enough to get hit by the sparks. Join me, Penina Taylor, as we walk with people who have embarked on a spiritual journey towards Torah. We'll uncover what started them on their journey and what truths they discovered along the way. So prepare to be inspired as we take a leap of faith every Sunday at 5 p.m. on Israel News Talk Radio.
Back here at the Tamar Yonah Show on IsraelNewsTalkRadio.com, and it is time now for our Jewish activism segment with Shifra Hoffman. She's the founder of VictimsOfArabTerror.org and the director of Shuva, S-H, S like in Sunday, S-H-U-V-A.net. If you're thinking about making Aliyah, you'll want to go visit there. You'll want to share it with other people as well. Even people, especially people who don't want to make Aliyah, share it with them, Shuva.net. We always post that where the show is, where the show is podcasted. And victimsofArabTerror.com. You know, Shifra Hoffman works one-on-one with victims of Arab terror, and she knows. She knows what's happening. She knows the suffering, and it hurts her heart, as it should hurt all of our hearts. And so she really knows what she's talking about. So I want to welcome to you to the show, Shifra Hoffman.
Hi, Tamar. Always, as I say, thank the Almighty. We should thank Him day and night, all of us in Israel, that we have the privilege. So people who hesitate, oh, it's dangerous, oh, I'll wait when my daughter graduates or my wife wants to go. If you wait, you think Israel's always going to be ready for you? You have to be ready for Israel. So thank God that there is an Israel under Jewish sovereignty, not all of it, and that's what I want to speak about today. How dare, and I use that word advisedly, how dare the Prime Minister of Israel come with a hat in hand and say, we have to discuss with President Trump if we can annex Judea and Samaria. I thought we were a sovereign nation. I thought every nation can do what they want according to the rules of the game. And the rules of the game for Jews is the Torah. There's no other guarantee and no other, nothing else that gave us the right to be here except that we are originals here. And God told Abraham, the first Jew, unto thy seed and thy seed after thee, all eternity, one land, not 10, not 15, just one land of Israel. So why do we have to ask Trump if he give us permission to annex what is our territory? I sometimes think I'm living in a Rabbi Kahan of blessed memory used to call it cuckoo land.
So, Shifra, I just want to explain to our listeners where our leadership is. Benjamin Netanyahu, the Prime Minister of Israel, is he's a very good Prime Minister in many things, but he's a very bad Prime Minister in other things. And one of his weaknesses is, I believe, a lack of courage to be able to go on and do things himself. I think that
right.
He feels that we need the assistance of the United States in order to, should I turn left or should I turn right? Is it okay with you if I turn right? Is it okay with you if I turn left? What do you think, right? And instead of just saying, look, I am the Prime Minister of Israel. We know that this is our land and we're going to do what's best for our country, just like any other leader of their own countries should do for their own people.
Well, that's exactly my point, Tamar. Suppose Trump decides when, and he's going to do it, no, you can't annex because the Arabs are not going to like it. We have to give them something. Suppose he says no. So that means that we have to listen? Either we are a sovereign country or we are a banana republic. And I came to Israel because it's a sovereign country, my country, and I think it's outrageous. Another thing that's outrageous is that you read almost every day, I hope people see it on the Internet, the Holocaust survivors who went through hell, real hell. There's no hell except on earth except that Holocaust and the pogroms, crusades, all the others. But the Holocaust was in our generation. And they're freezing. They haven't got enough money both for eat and heat. How could that be in the Jewish land? please, everyone who cares, whether you do or non-do, find Google the Prime Minister of Israel and write to them. Make sure that the old people from the Holocaust, the survivors, have heat and what to eat. If not, we are losing our raison d'etre.
Okay, so there's always room to give charity and to help people that are less fortunate than ourselves. And so,
no, but that's the government. Tamar, people can give, and also, you know, I'm the head of the Victims of Arab Terror. Mm-hmm. Certainly we need to give them, and we help them, thank God. But the Holocaust survivors should be priority. And also soldiers. Soldiers are not getting paid enough. They stand there and they jeopardize their lives. And then they're even put in prison when they kill a terrorist. Their priorities are all screwed up. Sorry.
Well, you know what? Soldiers are never get paid enough. You never get paid enough if you're a soldier. And everybody has to realize that Israel, it's not a volunteer army. You're drafted. Everybody after high school, men or women, or both men and women, are called up for a draft. And they have to serve. They have to serve.
Yeah, well, why should we give money to our enemies? Why does Gaza have money coming to them, or cement, or anything else? What's coming to them is the choice. Either sit quietly, or we put you on trucks and go to your 22 countries. All these people who are beating their breasts, but, oh, poor Arabs. They don't have to be poor. The Arab countries are rich with oil. They can absorb their refugees the way we did ours. And we don't have 22 countries. We only have one.
That's right. And that's why I always repeat this, Shifra, in my shows. If you want to open up the book, everybody, of Isaiah, the prophet Isaiah, in chapter 32, verses 17 and 18, how are we going to have peace? How are people going to have peace? The product of righteousness shall bring peace. Peace is not something that you can just pull off your grocery shelf and you can just buy it. Peace is a result. It's not an item. It's a result of proper living. And our prophet is saying, the product of righteousness shall bring peace, and the effect of righteousness, quiet and security forever. That means if you have a country that meets out justice and it punishes evildoers, so other people will see a deterrent factor there, they won't want to do it, you're going to have, by result, a peaceful nation. It goes for terrorists as well. Shifra.
Well, you know, Tamar, I don't think there can ever be peace. They have the commitment of the Arabs, they learned this in the Quran, is to kill Jews. And there are many passages, even one that I debated in an Arab about, that says there's a Jew behind the tree, you know, go get him. They won't have peace because that's part of their learning. They believe in this. But let them go and throw stones at their people, their leaders, who don't care about them. We took care of them, and we shouldn't. And I say that again and again. All these liberals and all the Jewish liberals in New York, that they're sitting in their nice, comfortable houses, and they're saying, oh, it's terrible how Israel treats the Palestinians. First of all, go and learn. There's no Arab-Palestinians. That was a myth from the very beginning. The Jews were in Palestine, and that's what it is. It's Jewish-Palestine.
Right.
Now I want to speak about something which businessmen, both here and in the United States, all over, who are opening businesses in third-world countries. Hey, guys, don't you care about your people? If they had jobs here, they would come here. They would have jobs here in Israel. They don't have to give Arabs work. They can work in their countries. But give Jews jobs. If you are interested in joining our call from the Victims of Arab Terror Organization, you can email me at hoffmanschiffer@gmail.com. We will tell you how to do what is right for your people. And I've said it a million times, that Jews have made everybody rich, have done everything to make good for other countries where they lived, only to find too late they were best tolerated and, if worse, annihilated. Don't wait for that. Come home if you can. If you're not coming home yet and you're a businessman, get jobs for Jews.
All right, Shifra, anything else that you want to leave us with before you go?
Okay, well, you know, Purim is coming, and we have a special parody I wrote.
Tell people what Purim is. Not everybody knows what Purim is.
Oh, Purim is when the haters of the day of in Iran, the same thing. Haman. You know, today there's rabbis for human rights. I call them rabbis for Haman rights. Haman was an arch Hitler, and he wanted to annihilate all the Jews because the head of the Jewish community, Mordechai, wouldn't bow down to him. But it's something you should read in your Megillah. The Megillah is the story of Purim, and it's a very festive holiday, and I hope I'll have a parody to share with the listeners.
All right. Well, I want to thank you very much for coming on the show, Shifra Hoffman. And if anybody wants to contact her, you can do so at HoffmanShifra@gmail.com.
Also, a telephone number in the States, 718-375-2532. 718-375-2532. God bless all the good Jews and other people that love Israel.
Amen. And you know what? Where else, folks, do you hear on a radio show that someone's giving out their personal phone number to you because they want to hear from you? Even just to give Shifra a call and say hello, I'm sure she'd love to hear from you. Okay?
Okay.
Shifra Hoffman, thank you so much for being
thank
with
you,
us.
Thank you, Tamar.
God bless you. All right, and so we are ending the show now. I want to remind you all again, if you have any comments or questions, feel free to write us at info@israelnewstalkradio.com, or if you have something specific about my show, you can do so Tamar, T-A-M-A-R, at israelnewstalkradio.com, all one word, of course, and we'd love to hear from you. Tell us your thoughts, your ideas, anything else you'd like. I usually try to answer most letters that come to me, and so I love hearing from you. Let us know where you're listening from and how you found us. Israel News Talk Radio is growing. We're being listened to all over the world, also by the Arab countries as well. It's so good to see people listening in from Jordan and Syria and Lebanon, Egypt, the Palestinian Authority, Iraq, etc., Japan, China, going over to Eastern Asia as well. It's very exciting to see all of you listening here at Israel News Talk Radio. Share us with your friends, because not everybody knows about us yet. We're still relatively a new station. We're just a few years old, and not everybody knows about us. So share us with your friends. Anyone who's interested in Israel, tell them to listen in and to join us, and to listen to the live stream, by the way. If you're listening via podcast, you're missing so much. You got to go to our homepage at israelnewstalkradio.com and click on that red button that says Listen Now to get news from Israel, unique news. And because it's true and it's from on the ground here. And international news, we've got everything for you.
If you love Israel News Talk Radio, then you'll love our Facebook page. We keep you up to date on what's happening in Israel, plus little surprise treasures that we don't share on the radio. Go now to follow us on Facebook. Just look for the Israel News Talk Radio Facebook page, and don't forget to subscribe and follow us by clicking on the like button. We post great stuff there that you'll want to share. Israel News Talk Radio on Facebook and Israel News Radio on Twitter.
If you're hearing this message, everyone else can too. Advertise with Israel News Talk Radio and get your message out to people. We'll build a personalized package for you. Contact advertising@israelnewstalkradio.com.
Straight talk from Israel.
You're listening to Israel News Talk Radio.
Hey, this is Jake in Anchorage, Alaska, and I love listening to all the super interesting interviews and up-to-date information on what's happening in Israel.
Hello, this is Anna King, originally from London, now living in Israel. And what can I say? Israel News Talk Radio is my cup of tea.
My name is Bhaskar, I'm from India, and I love listening because you get to know the truth and wonderful voices from this lovely country.
Mom!
Okay, wait a minute.
Hi, this is Chava Dax, and I'm calling from the rolling hills of Maale Adumim, just north of Jerusalem. I always listen to Israel News Talk Radio to get all the latest news and commentary and to keep me up to date every day.
This is Sarah Dax from Maale Adumim, and I'm 12. I wish Israel News Talk Radio was boring so my mom wouldn't listen to it all the time. Mom!
You're listening to Israel News Talk Radio.
News, opinion, and more. You're listening to Israel News Talk Radio.